News Radio.
How bad are the brackets? ESPN reports only 20 had the right Final Four. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning. The time is now 7:05 KCNR, Clearly News Talk Radio. This is Mike Quinn sitting in for Carl Bott. Alana Burke sitting in for...
Good morning. This is Alana Burke from the Alana Burke Show, which is on Saturdays from 9 to 10. I'm sitting in with Mike Quinn here for Carl and Linda Bott, who are on a little shenanigan down in...
Carl's a lucky man.
Yes, he is.
He's very lucky because his wife told him right up front, I'm a gold digger.
Yeah.
He didn't have to wait till later on in life to find out that he had married a gold digger. She said it right up front.
It's not true.
And he loves her for
it's
it.
Not true, Redding. She married him for love. That's why she married him.
That's why she told him right up front. She was very honest. But she's done other things to that poor man.
They're a good match. Very, very good match.
Later on, we'll talk about poor Carl and how you can help him out there. If you like this show, you like this station that he's bought and put on the air, and you want to help Carl, we will have a way to have you do that. I know he's listening out there.
I'm no part of this, Carl and Linda. I have nothing to do with this. It was all Bob and Mike. They were conspiring.
Well, we'll talk about that later on. First, let's take a look at the weather outside because it is fairly warm out there, 56 degrees. You wouldn't think so looking outside at the clouds. We expect some rain, but it looks like the Pineapple Express has come into town. Winds coming up out of the south, and that means go up toward the mountains. It's going to be melting some of that snow very quickly. We do expect some showers tonight, but they are not going to be very cold. So we will take all the water we can get, and we can talk about water issues later on. We can talk about all kinds of things this morning because there's so many different subjects that are tugging us and pulling us as a nation, as a country, as a county, as a city.
As a city, and as a parent of a 19-year-old with a Jeep 1990 Cherokee, which I have to tell you, I was telling Mike when I got in here, my son is on spring break from college, and he decided to go down to aquarium down in Monterey today. And I said, well, you can't drive your car. It's not really... for long-distance travel. So I said, just take my car, and I'll take your car, which I haven't driven in a long time and which I was fundamentally opposed to buying in the first place. And I got overruled by my husband and my son because I said, but it's cool. It's a cool car, and it does look cool. But as I asked my son, well, is there anything I need to know? And he said, well, you have to go in through the passenger door because the lock doesn't work on the driver's side.
Security system,
which luckily my husband managed to jimmy that yesterday. And he said, Mom, the left blinker doesn't work. So what you do is you just keep pushing it manually.
Just keep turning right.
Yeah, or just keep turning right.
Why go to the left anyway?
And I
never go to the left.
And don't put the key all the way in. Put it in and then just gently pull it out if you want it to open the door, right?
Anti-theft.
And if you want it to start, if it doesn't start, Mom, what you do is you put it in neutral and you kind of shake around the little shifter for a little while and then put it back in drive. And then if it doesn't start, get out and push it back and forth a little bit. Kind of rock it because sometimes if it's on a slope, it won't start. And then he said, Mom, and then if that doesn't work, just get out, pop the hood, and unplug the map sensor and plug it back in. So this morning as I got out there at 6:30 and dark, and there's no interior lights. So I can't even see if it's in drive or in neutral or in anything. And I'm driving down the road, and the tires are going, whoa, 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 right? And I have a car that just goes, So I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, am I going to throw a rod? And my husband always laughs when I say that because it throws me back to when I was in high school. And so I called my husband when I got here, and he says, no, they always make that noise. I was white-knuckling it to get here this morning.
But you see, no one will ever steal that car. It's guaranteed that will stay in your family forever. They wouldn't even tow that car away.
No, please no. If anybody wants to trade for a 1990 Jeep Cherokee for a nice, safe, four-door sedan of some kind, and you want a 1990 Jeep Cherokee, you can have
it. But, you know, it's proof that if you take care of a car, how many miles does it have on it?
260,000.
Yeah, see, they'll go that far. They're fine. Mm. You just got to baby them along.
Except for the time it caught on fire. But it's good. It's all good.
We won't need to go down there this morning. So many things to talk about. If there is something that you want to talk about, please give us a call.
That's right.
605-4567. In the meantime, we'll talk about some things that are going on maybe downtown. We've got some new businesses that are coming in. One that just opened up a block away from here in a new promenade. That's Gorilla Bites. And that gentleman went through a whole lot of effort to put that business together. He seems to be doing well. I stopped by there on Saturday, and lots of people going in there. It's a kind of an organic restaurant, and they promised us some food this morning. So, Brian, if you're listening out there, Should we put in our order? Do we need to call it down? But they're just down the street here. Great people, have a good staff down there, and they have an outdoor area to eat. That's what's really neat.
How did you finish?
I will teach you radio here this morning. You can ask. You ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Four-door sedan, not too many miles. That's what I'm asking for.
Now, later on, like I said, we'll ask for something for Carl, and we'll see if we can't get some response to that, too. But so many subjects that are coming up, you know, I'm glad to see that the city of Reading is finally going to take care of those ice cream trucks that are just driving everybody crazy.
I love it.
I do, too. There's the same. Who made up the jingle for the ice cream truck?
It's designed intentionally to get your attention. Whether to irritate you or not, it's designed to get your attention.
It's the same one nationwide.
Right, Bob?
The same song over and over and over.
You know, when I was growing up, all the ice cream trucks played Brahms' Lullaby. And then at some point during the 80s, they all went to Music Frank Mills. And I'm not sure what union came up with that.
Ice cream trivia.
Well, maybe ASCAP and BMI and CSAC got together and said, okay, you take this decade and we'll take this decade and we'll split the royalties from it. But, you know, as long as it's not obnoxiously played, you know, back when the ice cream truck started back in the 60s and all that, the sound went, I think they made it so it would go about a block. So you could tell when the ice cream truck was on the next block, and you could run in the house and try to get the nickel or the dime out of your mom and run back out there and then watch the other kids who couldn't get the nickel or dime out of their mom watch you eat it. But the sound isn't obnoxious. It doesn't go that far. It's not, I mean, it's
at least it's
worse.
Not playing like Drop It Like It's Hot or something like that. Daga, perhaps. At least
right.
It's, you know, traditional.
At a decibel that's about to break the windows in your car, even though their windows are rolled up in the car next to you. But, you know, it's not an obnoxious thing, and it's part of America. I mean, this has taken away, you know, another little part. And we don't have that many ice cream trucks here that I think they're obnoxious.
No. I mean, I hear one sometimes out,
soccer park?
No. Not that soccer park. It's some fields. There's a park out there where they have the Frisbee.
Oh, okay, the Enterprise Park.
Enterprise Park.
Victor
and there's
Avenue.
One that comes out there, you know, and it just comes through now and then. But, you know, when I said they could play something by Lady Gaga, I was talking to Mark Beecham yesterday about my son's car. And I said, you know, this car's got more quirks than if Lady Gaga and Joe Biden had a child together. And it's just...
Heading right
funny.
To the right this morning, and we're going to go right into a commercial break because we have to pay for this morning.
Yeah, we do.
Lots of subjects, Mike and Alana this morning, and for Carl and Linda on Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM. This is Alana Burke from the Alana Burke Show, sitting in with Mike Quinn, who is the owner of KLXR and Man About Town. We're sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott, who are down in Palm Springs having a great time. They're probably not even awake yet.
They're probably on their way home, you know, driving a car that is not made in 1990.
I'm not even a morning person, so if I'm a little edgy, you know why.
Edgy?
No.
Wanna?
No.
Oh, no. You don't have any edge at all.
Not at all.
Not a right edge?
Speaking
Definitely
of edge.
Definitely not a left edge.
You know, speaking of edge, how about that Ray Roberts?
The controversy over at KQMS 1400.
Yes.
In which he made a remark that was taken as a racial slur. And I would like to go on record, knowing Ray Roberts, having known Ray Roberts for a long time, that Ray Roberts is not that type of person. And I don't think that he meant anything maliciously. And this is, you know, we're not going to get really into the subject, and because, I mean, anybody can take anything. But when you're behind this microphone and you say something, hopefully you've thought about it a little bit. And I'll just tell you, I know Ray, and he's been a community supporter. You see him out at every event. He has really been a positive person.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't take what was said about him as being necessarily the truth. If you know the person, you know, sometimes you can mistake what they say.
Right. I don't know Ray Roberts. I listen to him sometimes. I guess I shouldn't say that station. But if you have thoughts about that situation, the number here is 605-4567. You know, feel free to call in and keep your comments appropriate. But what I have to say about that is I don't assume that he's a racist and, you know, loose lips sink ships all the time. But I can say it was a pretty dumb thing to say. And so, you know, we do have a responsibility. I mean, you know, Don Imus and the nappy-headed hoe comment and you know, some of the things, the shock jocks that you hear on the air, you really have to watch your words, and words have a lot of impact on people. And what he said could, from a lot of people that I've talked to, what he said could definitely be misconstrued as being racist. Whether or not he meant that to be racist, you know, people are being pretty hypersensitive about it with, you know, Patricia from the Shasta Reading NAACP coming after him. And, you know, I Googled it this morning, and there's about 47 to 50 references, you know, to this already. It's going on all of the radio, you know, blogs or whatever.
Well, that's, but still, you know, Harry Reid just came out and made a statement, too.
Right.
And he literally said that the president, you know, was black when he wanted to be. I mean, there
had
was
a Negro
there
dialect
words,
when it was convenient for him. Right.
That's right. So, right.
And Dan Rather with his watermelon quote saying Obama couldn't sell watermelons from the side of the road. You know, and he didn't get skewered as much as, you know, he might have been because he's an older gentleman. And he said that in his town, everybody sold watermelons on
right.
the side of the road. So to say that Ray Roberts meant to be racist, you know, does he have a pattern of that? No. So it was just a slip of the tongue, perhaps.
What we need to do is look at attitude and intent.
Right.
Every time something's done, stop for a minute. Don't fire right back and say, what was the attitude and what was the intent? And sometimes it is a purely racial intent. And sometimes it's just, you know, putting in something into context. And I know what he was trying to say about the White House, where Reagan would walk in, and he, if he stepped in that Oval Office,
right.
he had to be wearing
he was a very
classy
tie man.
And a
correct.
Coat. And
so, he was traditional. He was yes. very traditional, whereas Obama is, you know, Mr. Young, cutting-edge, cool dude. And, you know, I mean, I saw that picture of him with his feet up on the desk, and I didn't think that much of it until people brought it to my attention. But I will say something sort of controversial here. If
you?
No, not me. If it's someone else. Bob's telling me to say this. If you're not Bob. If someone who didn't know what the NAACP was, okay, and you said, oh, well, it's you know, for the national advancement for, you know, colored people, that in and of itself is kind of a racist thing to say towards white people. But you look at what the intent is behind that, and it's clearly not racist. It's,
right.
it's simply an advancement program for, you know, people that are in perhaps need of a step up every now and then. But if you just heard that phrase, you would say, well, how come they get advancement over this group or this group? Or why can't we have the advancement of colored people?
But that's, you see,
and purple
that's,
people. And,
that's not our business, because
right.
it's a group of people who've gotten together and they said, this is our agenda.
Right.
And fine, if I don't agree with it, I don't have to be part of
and
it.
And in America, you are free to do that,
you
which
are
is
free.
A wonderful, wonderful aspect of this country.
Now, the time is 7:20 this morning. For those of you stepping outside, expecting to have some cold temperatures because it's very cloudy out there. Maybe there's a little mist that's blowing through the air. You're not going to get it. It's going to be a nice warm day today, but we are expecting to have some showers out there. Pineapple Express is here, folks. We know it comes through, and it starts melting the snow off the mountains. If you have nothing else to do today, get a lawn chair, sit out, and look at Shasta Bali and just watch the snow melt, because it's going to be happening today. It's going to fill our streams up. Lake's going to go up a lot. And hopefully the Mount Shasta Ski Park can stay in business for the few more days that they're going to be. For KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio, this is Mike Quinn, Alana Burke.
Yep, Alana Burke, and you can join me
every night.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM. The number in the studio is 605-4567. And if you're near a phone and you've got some thoughts on some of the things that myself, Alana Burke, and Mike Quinn are talking about this morning, we're sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, and we have Bob the engineer in here. We'd welcome your calls this morning on just about anything you want to talk about.
And that's something that you get to do, because you have a column once a month in the Record Searchlight in the opinion page of the Sunday paper.
Yep, and I have my show on Saturdays.
Show on Saturdays.
Is, from 9 to 10 a.m. Every Saturday.
And how do you pick this? How do you pick a subject? I mean, what makes you all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to write? Because a column, that's not easy to write. That's a lot of words in there. You know, you can sit down and write an opinion, but when you have to fill four columns across the page.
Oh, it. You know what? The problem actually for me is I used to get 900 to 1,000 words. And when the Record Searchlight cut back on the size, you know, they cut the margins, they cut me down to 750 words. And as any of my regular listeners know, I'm incredibly loquacious. And for me to cover a topic, I don't just touch it lightly. I try to, you know, I really research deeply. And I try to find all of the loopholes. I used to be a legislative analyst in Texas. And I usually try to find the side of the story that somebody hasn't found or the facts that somebody hasn't found. And I pretty much only made one mistake all year, and it was on some lyrics, and somebody caught me on that, which, fine, it was Feed Your Head, and I didn't know that. But I pretty much watch the news. I watch the trends. And if you look at most of my columns, I have this sort of tack for getting to it right before it breaks. So a lot of times what I've just written about will all of a sudden become news that week. You know, it was sort of building. And that's what I look for. And I look for issues that are important to people like me. I'm a mom. You know, I have two kids. I am traditional. I am conservative. I get irate about a lot of the stuff that's in the news. And the coverage by the liberal media is frustrating to me. I think that it's very biased.
It can be taken that way. And so when you're getting a story, you're getting, okay, this isn't going to break because it's not really the story, but it behind the scenes, you're kind of the Paul Harvey, ahead of Paul Harvey, the pre-Paul Harvey, because he tells it to you after it happens. You're saying,
right,
wait a minute, before you hear the rest of the story, I'm going to tell it to you.
Right, and I usually try to write something like, don't forget about this. You know, here's something that's on my radar. Here's something that you should look for. And I on my webpage, alanaburke.com, I put a lot of links. You know, every day I look up there and, you know, there's things I want people to remember, like about the immigration reform bill, the amnesty bill, things that they should be looking at. My last column was analysis of the CBO and why the heck they weren't there during the big powwow to, you know, to say, hey, you guys are lying on this side or you guys are lying on this side. And the CBO was just remarkably absent for you know, when they were supposed to be parsing the new bill. And they weren't there to say, look, no, it is going to reduce the deficit, or no, it isn't going to reduce the deficit, and they weren't there. And that really bothered me, so I wrote about that the last time.
The Congressional Budget Office is what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's important, you know, to get out there and find out, well, wait a minute, there's always more. As much as we try to take our blinders off, we still have blinders, or you're still limited. If you go take that eye test to say, how far can you see, you can't see behind you. So we never have the full view.
I'm not politically correct. I know. Don't give me that look.
Hold it. Let's quote her on that one. Turn on your recorder. Yes. Say that again, please.
I am not politically correct.
Okay.
The problem for me is that people are so hypersensitive that they're afraid to say what the truth is for fear of offending someone. And that isn't good journalism. You know, you really have to show the picture as it is. And I realize that, you know, I do have a pretty wicked sense of humor. And I do write with sort of a flippant style every now and then. But isn't that just comic relief? Sometimes you read an opinion and you're about halfway through and you realize, why do I even want to keep reading this? This is so boring.
The best emails are the ones where you lead somebody up and you get them angry. And then at the end, it turns out to be a joke.
Oh, yes.
Because wow, I can't believe this is going on. And then they throw that little joke line in at the end and you realize you've been had.
Right. Well, you know, and some people don't, you know, I have about 14 folks in this town that are banded together and really don't appreciate my style or my opinions, and they love to defame my character whenever possible. And, you know, I strangely enough, and if you're out there, guys, they've been very silent recently, and I'm not sure whether that's because...
You now have a microphone.
No, I encourage them to call in. I really, really do, because I'm all about debate. And if someone can convince me otherwise, I will change, you know, I'll change my opinion. It's not that I'm set in stone. I'm a very flexible person. In fact, I'm a registered independent for that reason. And I've actually voted both sides of the ticket in my lifetime. I'm very flexible. But I think the reason that these very liberal folks are being more silent is because they are in mourning for the loss of their great leader. You know, that Obama's just not living up to their expectations, and that now that he's, you know, the change that he promised, they're kind of wishing he'd been a bit more specific.
Well, nobody can live up to everybody's, and we're learning that. We're a 50-50 nation, and it's time now to go to a break. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, Clearly News Talk Radio. Good morning. This is Mike Quinn and Alana Brooks sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. They are off at a gold diggers reunion, and they will be back in, they'll be driving back today. They didn't want to take the one long trip after all the partying that they were going to be doing. Linda seeing all her old friends.
I think Carl's outnumbered.
I think, you know,
probably
what? If you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be outnumbered at a gold
digger.
That's right.
That's right.
He went to a reunion there. He knew exactly what he was getting into. Hope they had a great time. You know, they're putting in a lot of effort at this station here. It's not easy to come in and absolutely run everything. They were used to talking, but they're learning the business side. They're learning the community side. And I think they're doing a great job with it.
Incredibly dedicated. And what I really like is this radio by the people, for the people concept that they've done. Because if you look at the other radio stations, it isn't really that way. If you look at the Saturday lineup, there's so much variety on the Saturday lineup. And it is all local people.
That's right.
And I really appreciate that. And I listen to most of the shows on Saturday. I always leave the radio on in my office. And I think they've just done an incredible job. When you look from the day we started to where we are now, how much progress we've made in such a short period of time.
it's important to be on a local level, because this is where we could solve the most problems. We can't do anything about what's happening in Washington, really. I mean, you know, your voice, you vote.
Oh, yes,
and
you
always
can.
You can, but you can affect more here locally.
You can affect people here to affect Washington. You have to use your voice. I say on my show every Saturday, apathy is a killer. And it doesn't matter if you just talk to your buddy over the fence, and then he talks to his wife, and she talks to, you know, her book club. That's how you get people saying, well, a lot of people feel alone. They say, well, I can't say that. I mean, I can't disagree with the president. I can't, you know, everybody loves him, and I'm not really liking his policies. Well, if you talk to someone else, they say, well, hey, I'm not liking his policies either. And they talk to someone, they say, gosh, I really don't like where the direction of the country is going. Before you know it, you have a groundswell. So you can start it locally, but it is the people, that silent majority in the middle. And I tell my listeners every Saturday, you need to get off your duff. Get out of your comfort zone. You need to call in. You need to write in. You need to email. I'm very, very passionate. You know, I do a ton of legwork for people. I say, go up to my webpage. Here, there's a link to the 11th Congress right there. Here's the email for you. Here's the phone number. Because if you don't step out of your comfort zone, pretty much you're part of the problem. You deserve what you get. And I know that's strong language, but right now I'm incredibly concerned about the direction that we are headed in this country. And for the first time ever, I'm actually kind of fearful about how in 1 year we have so fundamentally changed the nature of freedom.
It's so many different fronts is what kind of gets me, is that there's a problem with everything.
Yes, we
had a problem with our economy, and we're starting to say, wait a minute, what did those banks do? And Reading was right at the top of all of this, because for a while we were the number one speculative market for real estate in the nation. And so we led this parade of people saying, hey, wow, those houses are going to go up. You know, they're going to go up 20% every year. So
right.
You buy a house and you pay interest only, and you sell it in 2 years, so you get the tax break of not having to declare the profit, and you get 40% gain. And so we bought into this, and so did people. You know, people were buying houses up here. They didn't even see them. They just said, buy a house in Reading. And so
right.
We were kind of at the leading edge of this, and that's, I think, why we've dropped, you know, so far.
Well, I mean, how many
this.
People are underwater? And if you're out there listening, the number is 605-4567, and I strongly encourage you to weigh in this morning. Call in on any of these topics that we are discussing, because, you know, I talk to people off the air all the time, and they're very passionate. And then I say, hey, Bill, would you like to come on the air and talk about that? And he's like, oh, no, I can't. I would freeze up.
We will do that for you.
I can't do that.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. So anyway.
Just to get people to think about some of the things that are going on.
Right.
You know, I prepare taxes, you know, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing that right up till midnight on April 15th. And I find that I'm a psychiatrist this year. People are coming in, they are beat up, they're tired, they've got subjects that they're having to address that they've never addressed before, because the tax laws and things like this have changed, and you've got to know what they are, and you've got to know how to prepare yourself. And hopefully you called and asked a question. If you're out there and you have a question on taxes, call your tax preparer during the year. Now,
right.
That is all I can say. Is some people I say, wow, well, that's, you know, what you're thinking isn't really true. It doesn't work that way. And they say, oh, I'm so relieved. Well, they could have been relieved 6 months ago when they thought about it.
I think people are afraid of taxes and afraid of the IRS. And now they're going to have a bigger reason to be afraid of the IRS, since they're going to be 18,000 new hunt-you-down IRS enforcers for the health care mandate.
That doesn't bother me. I don't care how many auditors out there, because they're only going to catch the people who are doing things wrong, not paying their tax. That does not bother me. You could have those 18,000 really spread over the nation. It's not going to be that much more. I want to see them go after the people who are not paying taxes, because
right.
I pay mine and you pay yours. And all these other people that are out there, they need to audit the people who don't file, not the people who do. And it's really, really upsetting to see. You know, there's a new way to do audits. And they're not auditing. They don't go and say, okay, did you eat a meal here, that meal that you took there? What did you discuss at that meal? I went to an audit, and this is what happened. They added up all the deposits that these people put into their bank accounts, and they compared it to the amount of income being declared on the tax return, and they said, you didn't declare all your income. I said, sure we did. And they said, no, here, you take all these deposits, and they had all the bank accounts, and they said, it's this amount of money, and you only declared this amount. Now prove what happened. Well, it was very simple, and we proved it down to the penny. They had five bank accounts. husband had a business, wife had a business. They each had a personal account, and then they had a joint house account. And they were transferring money between the accounts. Husband's business brought it in. He paid his bills. Then he took his profit, moved it into his personal, and then he moved his share of the household into the joint account there to pay the household bills. And by the time you got through there, you could have $1 was deposited three times.
Exactly.
And then we
just incorporated, and we have to do the same thing. You know, for the portion of our home office, we have to, for the utilities, we have to pay the business for the portion of utilities. You can't just write one check to PG&E. You actually have to split up by percentage two different checks, one from the business account and one from the home
account.
That's
one way to do it. Or you can do it on your tax return.
Or do it on your tax return. Yeah, but to keep it clean, you know, we're having to split up everything. It's a very convoluted process. And if you're just a layperson, it's difficult.
But what if you are declaring all your taxes and you go in there and prove it? How about the guy now? I want them to go out to the guy who's, you know, living in the high house and he's showing a little bit of income and stuff like that, who's maybe, you know, working under the table, or he's just flat. He's never going to declare anything. And go. I want them audited, and I want them audited the same way. How do you live your lifestyle? It's called lifestyle audit, and that's fine with me because I pay taxes, and everybody else out there should be safe. Fine. Maybe there's 10% of the people, and they're really driving it into the ground.
Exactly. And, you know, I know we have to take a break, but it's kind of the same thing for me with profiling. If you have nothing to hide, you ought to just step up to the plate and say, yeah, take a look at me.
Walk into audits and just say, go.
We're
going to
take a quick break here on KCNR 1460. The number is 605-4567, and I encourage you to call in and weigh in on some of these topics. We'll be right back. Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM. This is Clearly News Talk Radio. The number in the studio is 605-4567. This is Alana Burke from The Alana Burke Show, which is on Saturdays from 9 to 10, and Mike Quinn, KLXR owner and man about town. We're sitting in for Carl and Linda this morning, who are down on some shenanigans in Palm Springs. And I think actually we have Carl on the line. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Alana. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Sitting in your chair.
Well, you know what? You're the one that can fill it.
Are you driving back and talking?
I've got a special phone that I can do that with.
Sure.
Of course you do.
Right.
It's a Bluetooth.
So how's it feel to get up early in the morning and have a show? Later in the morning.
No, I would not do this 5 days a week. No. I got up this morning and my husband looked at me and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Don't talk to me." And then I took a shower, and I said, still don't talk to me. And I finally woke up about the time I pulled onto the curb here and walked in. But, no, I'm not a morning person. Right about now is when I'm starting to wake up. So I wouldn't want to get in here at 7 o'clock every morning. Mm-mm. And Jim said to me, "What are you complaining about? I was here an hour before you were." So
that's right. He's there doing the news from 7, which means he gets there at 5 o'clock. So. Anyway, we just wanted to thank you and tell you we hope you were having a great time, and I know you're doing a great job. And tomorrow we're going to have Patrick Jones on. We'll be talking a little bit about things that are happening.
Well, ice cream trucks.
Ice cream.
Controversial subject. Just wait till you get back. We can't even begin.
Well, some people have been sending us things that sounded like some things were going on.
Oh yeah.
And we've been in Palm Springs. I mean, Alana, we needed you. We needed somebody to jump in there and put some thumbs in the eyes of people that are believing this health care plan is the way of the future.
You know,
come back home, Carl.
I know. And some of your listeners are probably going to go into shock because, I'm a little more hard-edged than your gentlemanly manner sometimes. And we are going to talk about health care. I talked about it on Saturday, but a lot of your listeners, you're going to get an earful probably after the next break, because Mike and I are going to get into that particular issue. So I'll cover that for you, Carl, and you can come back and soothe their frayed nerves tomorrow.
Yeah, but we'll be back around noon today. So anyway, thank you so much, and break a leg there.
Drive safely. You have winds, warm winds, that'll be pushing you up here.
Yeah, it's been windy on the whole trip. Linda sends her love and says hello.
Hey, hugs, Linda.
See you soon.
All right. Bye, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got a phone call. Roberta on line two there. Good morning, Roberta.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, Roberta.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling about taxes, you know, and I don't have the actual figures in front of me, but you hear them, you know, on the radio. What is it, about 50% of the people pay income tax and 50% don't? So, you know, half the people are not even vested in this problem of overtaxation, and which is a real problem. And then the people that work really hard are carrying those that aren't. The thing is, when you are having your money stolen from you, you know, like on the internet, maybe you've seen that joke where you have to have a drug test, a urine test to have a job. Well, maybe the people that get money given to them, taken from other people, would have to have a urine test to receive the stolen money.
Sure. Now, there are different reasons that people don't pay tax. And, for example, a business person who starts up his business, usually in the first year, they're going to take a loss because of depreciation and things and all the startup expenses that you've got. So he is trying to make an income, but he doesn't make enough.
I have no problem
right.
with that. We've been self-employed, you know, my husband, all the time. And you lose money a lot of time, and you live, but you don't expect somebody else, the government, to come in and give you money to carry you.
That's right. And then there's, you know, there's people who just don't file. There's people who work under the table. I mean, there's all different types of situations as to why people don't pay tax. But I don't want to take away from the person who's out there honestly trying to make a business and just having tough times. A lot of times they'll take advantage of, you know, some investments. Hey, I need this new piece of equipment. It'll make me more money later, so I'll take a loss this year.
That would be great.
And so, if we could all do that.
How about the earned income credit when you don't work and the government pays you? And if you make over, like, $23,000, you don't get that money. So those that work start working under the table when they get to $23,000 or whatever the number is, so they can get the earned income credit and get $4,000 or $6,000 back.
That is a perfect example, and this underground economy and people not paying what's owed. I will go out on a limb and I'll say, if you gave me one day, I would balance the state, county, and city budget.
Well, that, you know, we need to get away from taking from anybody and giving to. That's legalized theft. You know, we as individuals are to help our neighbor and, you know, help in our county, but to send it to Washington D.C. to send it back here. You know, we're only getting maybe 10%, and this whole system needs to be fixed. But I really am opposed of legalized theft, and we need to stand up and do something about it. And we probably need to tax on the other end when you spend your money, your tax. Then the underground economy, everybody, when they bought something, a boat or a new home, or, well, maybe not a home, I don't know, but bought most of your stuff, they would pay tax, and maybe we need to go to that instead of income tax.
Neither side of this question is right. Now, this year, the state decided to take an opposite approach and take away from everybody. They raised the sales tax.
Yeah.
They raised the income tax rate, and they took away most of the dependent exemption. Now, that's hurting the people at the low end. Here's the person who has three kids, and they lost $600 that they used to depend upon, and instead of getting $300 back from the state, they now owe $300. And that's to somebody who's trying to make it check to check, and all of a sudden they get a $300 bill. That's devastating to them. So neither way is right. Taxing, overtaxing, and then giving it away, and then, you know, taxing the people who really don't need, you know.
When the gas prices go up, that hurts all the, you know, the low-income people, people going to college. That's a huge hit if you have high gas prices.
Everything that takes money, you know, out of the economy, because that, again, the tax rate goes up. Yes, definitely we need a system. Roberta, thank you for the call this morning.
Yeah, talk to you later. Bye.
You're listening to KCR 1460. That is Shasta Redding, Clearly News Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Many of you know.
Good morning. You're listening to KCNR 1460. This is Mike Quinn, Alana Burke, sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. They're on their way back from the Palm Desert. And we have Gary on line one. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hi. This is Gary, your Saturday morning companion.
Yes, I know. Happy
How
to hear
you?
From you. I'm well, thank you.
All right. I'm a neophyte on the computer, so if I can do this, anybody can. I was pleasantly surprised yesterday. Went to the Heritage Foundation, and through a couple clicks, as you know, happens research, I came upon H.R. 3962 and H.R. 3590, very fine explanations of the debacle that happened the 21st of this month. And other links, one of them is Morning Bell, and discussion and the numbers did not cause one's eyes to glaze over. So it was that informative, and I certainly urge anyone who is interested in this country and wants to know what is happening, go to the Heritage Foundation and find out what that bill means in an understandable way.
Well, Gary, can you give us some details on the bill for our listeners?
It's much what you've heard, but the detail. Let me address the format. They do comparisons, what was supposedly happening, and what is happening, and how much it differs from the original bill. And I didn't take copious notes because I knew I could go back and find it, but it is definitely worth reading, and it is not a laborious proposition to go to it and find out. I mean, like I said, I'm a neophyte, and if I can find it, anybody can, really. And one thing concerns me, maybe I missed something, that the liberals who are propounding this bill, I don't see one mention of the Constitution and what supports it, supposedly, other than, as you probably heard on the new John Conyers, the first of last week said the good and welfare clause in the Constitution supported this medical bill. Did you hear that segment from Conyers?
I didn't.
No, the good and welfare clause. There's no such thing in the Constitution. And Conyers is the chairman of the Judicial Committee in the House.
Well, I think, you know, Gary, in terms of whether it's constitutional or not, it is definitely the first time that you've ever been mandated to purchase a product in the United States. And here's the thing, if you don't purchase it, you're going to be punished. And this is unprecedented. This has never, ever happened in the history of the United States. And it is definitely an imposition on personal freedom. For example, I have a healthcare program. We rarely go to the doctor, although I did go quite a bit last week because I was sick for the first time in 4 years. And, you know, we eat well. We don't think that the food pyramid is Burger King and McDonald's and Taco Bell in my house. And we work out and we take care of ourselves. My kids take care of themselves. So we have a health care policy that doesn't cover just regular doctor visits. You know, it covers everything else. But we would be foolish to pay an extra $250 a month to cover doctor visits when we don't generally go that often, as opposed to someone else who, you know, has a very poor living style. They don't take care of themselves. They don't say no to meth. They don't say no to cigarettes. And, you know, they sit around on their butt doing nothing. And they need to have those doctor visits covered. But this health care bill, my health care insurance will not fit the federal mandate. So as soon as this goes into effect, and, you know, I'm going to have an IRS agent pounding down my door saying, you need to increase your health care policy to cover doctor's visits. This doesn't meet our minimum requirement, which to me is unconstitutional.
Well, it will be found unconstitutional, and we all have to stick together or hang together and say no to that. And John Dingell, who's the longest serving rep in the House, said the truth last week. He said they went into this was a radio interview, one of the stations in the Midwest, and he was going on and explaining the bill and how long it took to do the legislation. And at the end, he said, it takes time to do legislation to control the people.
To control the people, yeah, I did hear that. It was an interesting slip of the tongue, and it definitely follows the flavor of the Obama administration, and apparently what their agenda is to definitely gain a heck of a lot more government control over the people.
Right.
You know, the thing, Gary, is even though, there's about 13, 14 states now that have lawsuits, the problem is that the only time that we're really going to have any opportunity to perhaps not repeal this bill but amend this bill is in February 2013, when hopefully Obama will no longer be in office and we'll have a conservative president in office, and then we can perhaps start the amendment process. But I really don't think they're going to be able to overturn this bill anytime soon. It's much more difficult to overturn something than it is to get it into law.
I'm still thinking, though, that the court cases will something. On the brighter side, before I leave you, I attended the Welcome Home Vietnam Vets Saturday.
Hey Gary, can I?
Wonderful ceremony.
Well, that's awesome, and we are coming up against a hard break, and I hate to let you go, but I will talk to you next Saturday.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Thank you very much, Gary. Good morning. The time is now 8:05. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, Clearly News Talk Radio. Good morning. This is Mike Quinn along with Alana Burke sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. If you're waking up this morning looking at those cloudy skies saying it's going to be cold out there, not necessarily true. Temperature's right around 56 degrees right now. We do expect to have some moisture out of this. It's not going to be a great storm, but it is going to be the Pineapple Express. It does melt the snow right off the mountains. Happens every year for those people up at the Mount Shasta Ski Park. Get those. Well, you don't need ski boards anymore.
It's melting.
And you just get out your water boards from the lake and just go up there. It's a lot easier, a lot smoother than the snowboards. Anyway, we're talking about a number of different subjects this morning. Gary talked a little bit just before the top of the hour, and he mentioned the Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Ceremony that we had this weekend. We want to thank everybody. First of all, the people who thought of that. Congratulations. Thank you for thinking of the Vietnam era veterans and for all the people that participated. And then later on that night, the Boondocker Ball held over at the Veterans Hall. Awesome evening over there. And of course, Rob, you know, and Charlie that put this together, and the Straight Ahead Big Band who provided music all night, and our ladies over at the Classic Cafe who cooked the food. Everybody had a great time. Raffles, prizes, dancing. People actually stayed around and danced at an event in town. They didn't, as soon as the last speaker spoke, take off and leave. Everybody had a great time, and that, of course, is being put on to raise money for the Veterans Museum that we want to put out by the airport. So Rob Burrows, of course, who's leading that charge with a lot of followers. Let's keep that momentum going. But really, everybody had a great night. So that whole day was dedicated to veterans. And we're going to be wading into a subject here that's across the nation. And we're going to take our take on the new medical law, health care laws that have been passed, and some of the pros and cons and things like this.
The good and the bad and the ugly. And, in fact, there was an article in the Record Site this morning that primary care physicians are already in short supply in parts of the country. And, you know, you got to think about what the repercussions of this health care mandate are going to be. And most people don't dig deep enough. They just think, well, it's got to be good for me because President Obama did it. I mean, they fall for the cover story, and they don't really look for the details.
2,400 pages, or is it 2,700? They said there actually was 2,700.
24, 27, you know, and on my show on Saturday, partially because I had laryngitis and partially because I really wanted to share with people the words of the conservatives that stood up in opposition over and over and over and over again. I mean, even Boehner's rant, you know, hell no, you can't, was so impassioned. And I actually sat and listened to the entire proceeding all day long. I was riveted watching them talk back and forth. And the grace and dignity with which the Republicans stood up and said, this isn't right for America, impressed me.
While the rest of the country watched the Final Four.
Right. Well, you know, as people say to me, oh, my gosh, did you watch The Bachelor? And I said, no, I was watching C-SPAN. My girlfriends look at me and they go, what is wrong with you? And I say, well, this is what I do.
Well, we'll wade into that subject here in just a minute. We'll take an early break on this one, so we've got a few extra minutes to talk about it. Good
morning. The number here is 605-4567. Make sure you call in and weigh in on this issue. We'll be right back.
Boomer.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460. The number here in the studio is 605-4567. This is Alana Burke from The Alana Burke Show on Saturdays from 9 to 10, and I'm sitting in with Mike Quinn, owner of KLXR and Man About Town. We're filling in for Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. They're driving back from Palm Springs today. That was a little bit of footage of the Republican Party standing up for your rights, Redding, your rights to not have a federal mandate over how you take care of your body, And I just want to read you something by Frank Rich from the New York Times. And he says that the anger over this health care bill is being compared to the civil rights movement. And he's saying it's merely a handy excuse. What he's really saying is that you're not mad about policy. You're racist, bigots, and homophobes because you don't like having a black president. It's not that you're angry about policy. It's that you're angry about having a black president. It's that you're angry about having liberal Nancy Pelosi. It's that you're angry about having Barney Frank in office. This is the most ridiculous statement I have read, and this was in the New York Times, Frank Rich. And he says if Obama's first legislative priority had been immigration or financial reform or climate change, we would have seen the same trajectory. The conjunction of a black president and a female Speaker of the House, topped off by a wise Latina on the Supreme Court and a powerful gay congressional committee chairman, sows fears of disenfranchisement among a dwindling and threatening minority in a country, no matter what policies were in play. I am fundamentally opposed to that statement. Skin color is benign. It does nothing. Skin color is benign. It does nothing. I do not believe that we are a country of racists whatsoever. But I want to read you something else from communications consultant John Krasauer. And he said that with this health care bill, President Obama is sending you at least 10 messages. And I also want to remind you that the number here is 605-4567. And I know you have some thoughts on this subject. And I encourage you to get out of your comfort zone this morning. Pick up the phone. So here's what John Krasauer said. These 10 messages. 1, I win, you lose. 2, my will, not the will of the people. 3, government of Obama, by Obama, for Obama, not government of the people, by the people, for the people. 4, corrupt house rules and autocracy, not play by the rules and democracy. 5, I'll tread on you, now steps on, don't tread on me. 6, I the president, not we the people. 7, all men are created equal, but I am more equal than others. 8, the dissent of the president overrules the consent of the governed. 9, give me tyranny and give me debt, replaces give me liberty or give me death. And 10, that government is best, which governs most, supersedes that government is best, which governs least. And all 10 of those ring very, very true in this time, in this history of America. And I am disturbed. I am fraught. I know that everyone that I've spoken to is confused. They're feeling powerless. They're feeling overridden. They're feeling overgoverned. And I know that you out there in Reading, you have some thoughts on this too. Don't just sit back and say, well, I guess, you know, my premiums won't go up. You're wrong. Your premiums are going to go up. And if you haven't researched this bill, you ought to. You really ought to look at what's going to happen, because even though I don't know that it'll be repealed, I think it can be amended in 2013 if we vote Obama out of office. And I'm hoping that the country will rise up and just do that. So here's what you need to know. You're going to be fined if you don't buy into an improved insurance program or the, quote, exchange. The fine is less than the premiums that you're going to have to pay. So a lot of people are saying right now, I'm just going to drop my health insurance and just pay the fine every year. And then since pre-existing conditions are now covered, the day I break my leg, I'm going to go in and say, hey, I need health insurance. Meanwhile, the rest of us are going to be paying $750 or $900 a month, paying into the system, right, to cover people who are just going to pay the fine.
There's a couple of things that are really bothering it that are not talked. Let's talk about the beginning of this. There was a need for a change in the system. We opened the door
right
by having people who cheat the system, people who, you know, aren't paying into it and using the system. There was an open door for this to happen.
Right, and reform was needed.
Reform was needed.
Absolutely.
But you attack the problems one at a time.
Incrementally.
Yes.
And cleanly, you say, okay, with transparency.
If we go out there and, I mean, the drug companies, if there's something that's going on there, then you go in there and make sure that they're playing by all the rules and that they're charging correctly and,
right,
you know, that people are billing right. And you take care of those one at a time. You say, okay, when do you stop the problem? When do you come to that crossroad that you say, okay, we've done enough, we can now stop. That is back in line and people see we are going to play by the rules. So when you open the door, watch out, because
but if they've just taken the five things that they could agree on from the little powwow that they had, if they'd taken the five things and said, all right, let's talk about competition across state lines. Let's talk about pre-existing conditions. Let's talk about being able to take your insurance if you change jobs so you have, you know, the freedoms to be an entrepreneur if you want to, and you're not just stuck in a job because your child is sick and you can't leave your job because that child has a condition already, mm-hmm. and you know you won't get health insurance, so you're trapped. These were things that the Republicans were all about. It's not that Republicans don't want the health care to be reformed.
Then why didn't they reform it when they had the majority? See, they lost the opportunity to do that when they had a Republican president, Republican Congress, and they didn't go in and take care of those issues that were wrong and that were done. They lost that opportunity, unfortunately, and that's missed opportunity. When you have that type of thing, go in there and fix it. So the problem wouldn't have continued. The door would have closed at that point,
right.
And they didn't do it.
Here's the thing, Mike, and a lot of people say, well, you know, Bush did this, or, you know, Clinton did this, or whatever. I don't look back anymore. Mm-hmm. I look at from the day that Obama took office, as far as I'm concerned, he's responsible for what's happening to this country. You know, like I said, I have voted both sides of the ticket. I am a conservative. I espouse traditional values. I'm a very practical, logical person. And as far as I'm concerned, right now, this is the president in charge. Bush made lots of mistakes. All of the presidents have made mistakes. It doesn't matter the mistakes they made then. What matters is what we do now.
Okay.
Because he is steering the direction of the American ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a sink or swim situation at this point.
I think that everybody, once again, we get back to what I was talking about earlier with taxes and stuff like that. If everybody pays in, then we don't have a problem. See, again, you have people that are out there, you know, cheating the system, and then it comes to what they say, well, there's 30 million people that don't have health care. So, again, the door is open, and we didn't require it, and we don't make them pay when they go, you know, to the emergency room or anything like that. Everybody has health care. You go to the emergency room, they're going to take care of you. I mean, that's
right, but that is the most expensive possible way, you know, to handle health care. But, you know, my question is, I wonder what's going to happen to the small businesses, because if you have more than 49 employees, as far as I understand this, if you have more than 49 employees, if you don't provide them the coverage that meets the level of the exchange, the mandate, you're going to be fined $2,000 per year per employee.
Okay, do you know what that's going to do? If I'm a businessman and I have 51 employees,
you're going to fire them.
I'm going to get rid of a couple of them.
You're going to let a couple of them go.
And there's a number of those benchmarks that are in there that says if you are at this level, you will pay this amount. Well, I'm going to be below that mark.
Right.
I mean, it's just common sense. You have one more employee, it's going to cost you this much more money.
Or what's going to happen is they're going to reduce hours. They're going to make everybody be part-time, kind of like what Walmart tends to hire a lot of part-time workers so that they don't have to pay as many benefits. In no way is this going to be good for business. I mean, AT&T came out and Caterpillar came out. They were talking about $100 million in fees that, you know, that it's going to raise their expenses. This is the worst thing they could have done right now with the economy the way that it is.
Exactly. There's so much in here and so much that we need to talk about on this and so many different ways to look at it. Everybody needs to participate. Everybody needs to participate to the level that they can. And that was not happening. So, again, door wide open. Look out. Instead of, you know, driving that little Mini Cooper through the door, you drove a bulldozer. And we, you know, now we've got this. Now we're going to find out what it is, because they're still delving through. Now, in your little clip that you opened up this segment with, it said 4,700 pages.
Right.
So
they don't even know. Well, like Nancy Pelosi said, we had to pass the bill to find out what was in it. So we got to take a quick break. The number here is 605-4567. I really encourage you to call in, and we'll be right back.
Good morning. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding. Clearly, News Talk Radio. This is Mike Quinn, Alana Burke, sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. We were talking about the health care package. Well, you know, there's a different way to look at this, and I'll tell you what that is if you take care of your health, then do you need to go to the doctor? I was brought up in a very healthy family. We ate right. Everything was, you know, I mean, I still continue to eat the foods that I was brought up with. I eat organics and things like this. And the last time I went to a doctor was because I, you know, tore a muscle. It wasn't that I got sick, and I've never, ever, ever taken a flu shot, because I think I eat healthy. I get out, get the vitamin D that the sun gives
right.
you, you know, get some exercise, good oxygen in your blood.
And as they say, you are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Well, we've got a new business downtown that's opened up, Grilla Bites. And we have Brian and Colleen in this morning, and you are the proud owners of this, and you've opened up, and I would say, having been down there three times, that you guys have got a nice clientele building already.
Yeah, it's been extraordinarily good for us. The business has been very good. We feel that we have a product that is needed in Reading. It's, you know, simple food, healthy food, and good for you. So we sort of call the health care bill the sick care bill because it takes care of your sick. And our motto is, if you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. So that's what we're trying to support.
And that is organics.
Right now we're about our salad bar. We have over about 50 items at our salad bar. We're about 50% organic. And by the end of next month, we'll probably be about 70, 80% as we start identifying vendors that are reasonably priced. You know, the price, everybody who shops organic knows that price is very important. And we hope to be about 80% organic. But all our pasta is organic, our breads are organic, and we try to get as few as added as possible in all our products.
So on your salad bar, are there sulfates?
No sulfates at all in any of the products that we have.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then like I say, right now we're about 50% of our items are organic, and we're actually today we'll probably be hitting close to 75%. So we've got a lot of more organics coming in.
And do you eat organically breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah, we're open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 to 3 on Sunday. We have a light breakfast menu with some egg sandwiches and egg wraps, and then we have the full lunch menu, and we'll slowly be rolling out some dinner specials.
There's a number of different ways that you can eat here, too. I mean, you can get like a full meal, or you can get, you know, bits and pieces, you know, like it's almost like a full restaurant. You can get your hors d'oeuvres and just eat an hors d'oeuvre tray. And when I was down there on Saturday, I saw every different thing in the world being ordered.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been a challenge for us, you know, being new to the restaurant business. We did it because we wanted to bring something healthy to Reading, and jumping into three meals at a time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But, you know, we have half sandwiches and soups. You know, you could get out of there for $6 and have a little salad and a bowl and a cup of soup. So it's pretty good.
Feel good, and then your body's going to thank
That's
you,
right.
too. And the doctor won't.
That's it. And then we have all the fresh squeezed juices. You can get carrot juice and their celery juice and all that stuff. Make your own mix and fresh fruit smoothies also.
Now, you really hung in there with this business because there was a number of challenges that came up. This idea has been around for a while. It's been 2 years you've been working on this?
Yeah, we actually signed the lease 2 years ago, and then about halfway through it had a partner pull out because of the economic downturn, and the last year has been spent trying to refinance and complete it because it was a dream and a vision we really believed in and wanted to see come to Reading.
And I remember your attitude down there was always, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. Don't ask me any of those business questions, but somehow we're going to make it work. Fantastic looking, and you have a nice outside area, too. People can sit outside.
That was one of the main things. We wanted to have a patio in Reading. Reading is a beautiful place. We believe the city's beautiful, and we want to have a nice place to sit outside. And so it was important. We have a great patio out there.
I want to mention something real quick. When you said Gorilla Bites, I thought you said Gorilla Bites. So I just want to give the spelling of their webpage. It's Grilla Bites, BITES.com, and they're at 1427 Market Street. So it's GorillaBites.com.
KCNR 1460. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Mike Quinn along with Alana Burke, KCNR 1460, Shasta Reading, Clearly News Talk Radio, sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. And we have the newest business to open up downtown. The owners here, Brian and Colleen, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
And that is Gorilla Bites. I cannot say you put a gorilla on here. You're playing off the words, and I say it that way, but it's Gorilla. Gorilla Bites.
Yeah, it's based on all our sandwiches are hot. They're grilled on a panini, and that's why it's a play on the word gorilla. Also, gorillas are the strongest animals, purely vegetarian also. So we want to let people know that as everybody's saying, eat more fruits and vegetables, you still can maintain strength by eating fruits and vegetables. So.
Right, and you have so many different, you know, on your menu here. But, you know, I had the tuna down there, tuna sandwich and all that. It was wonderful. And you know, you guys got the drinks, all different types of drinks, the drink bar in there. This is a franchise, isn't it?
We have a license agreement with the Gorilla Bites. It was founded in Chico. There's five other Gorilla Bites, Chico, Ashland, Medford, Snohomish, Washington, and us in Reading. We're the fifth one to come on board. And there's about three more getting ready to start, one in Bozeman, Montana, two in Seattle area, and one maybe in Petaluma. So it's starting to grow.
Well, that's good. So you're in on the ground floor, and they're in here helping you, getting you, you know, because it's a different. I mean, did you just find somebody to walk in and be able to cook this type of food? Or you have to train them.
Yeah, it's been a training experience. We thought our first day Saturday would be a good training day for us, but it ended up being a phenomenal business day, and we were trained on the fly as everybody sort of came in and overwhelmed us. But it was a great welcoming experience.
Well, it did take you a couple of years to get this going. You know, you overcame all the obstacles that were thrown at you with a positive attitude and saying, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. We know we've got this vision, we're going to throw everything at it. That is what everybody should take away from this interview. Yes, go down there, visit, you know, make this one of your stops on a consistent basis. It's down in the open area, the promenade of the downtown mall, right across from a brand new Shasta College medical building there. But the other thing is, if when you're in business, don't give up. You know, don't you know, have a vision and make sure that, you know, that it's solid, and then keep working.
Yeah, Colleen and I had a vision. We saw the potential of the downtown Reading area. We've been here for 3 years and just love it. And we saw the roof of the mall coming off, and we wanted just to bring a new good food, a good patio, and just to bring the community together in a place that they could have a meeting place, something comfortable to eat and good to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've tried to create, and I think we're getting there, and it's just only going to improve. We're going to have more plants in the patio, music, special events ongoing throughout the year.
Now, the city did allow you to put in that outside. You've got it fenced off, beautiful, you know, wrought iron work and all that, so it looks very nice out there with tables outside. It kind of cuts into the sidewalk, but there's plenty of room for people to walk down there. And you got that nice grassy area out there. I think that, you know, we need a little more color down there in the promenade. And it's starting at the other end. They're putting the benches in. So things are changing. You're right. You're opening up right as things are starting to happen.
Yeah, it was great. We had a big friends and family party last Sunday down there. And that grassy area was a surprising amenity to our restaurant. There was probably 20, 30 kids playing in there while the parents were eating. And the parents were loving it because they could have a conversation in a restaurant while their kids were outside playing, and it was just wonderful.
Very family friendly, which is important. You know, one thing I noticed, I was looking at your menu, you were talking a lot about the vegetarian items that you have, but I want to let our listeners know that you don't just have vegetarian items. You actually have some, you know, turkey and chicken and fish. And
well, the number one seller that we've been selling, which surprised us, is the bison burger.
I was just going to ask you, so where do you get bison?
From Buffalo.
I know from Buffalo. I mean, I know from Buffalo, Mike, but where do you order that from?
There's a ranch up in Montana that actually raises it. It's grass-fed bison. They're raised. And people have been, I mean, we got cleared out of what we thought was 2 weeks' supply of bison in about 2 days. So it's very healthy. There's no hormones added. It's all grass-fed and not even antibiotics. So it's a very healthy, lean meat for you, and people have been loving it.
That goes back to the Native Americans, you know, that if bison had been unhealthy, they wouldn't be around. You know, they learned that was a very good meat, and it's always been known for the right amount of the right kind of fat.
Yes.
And that's what it's known for. It's not, you can't say fat-free, but, you know, it's the right amount of the right kind.
Well, I think the most important thing, if you're going to open a business here, you know, families want to go to eat. It's a tradition. It's something that we do. Even in hard economic times, it's a break for mom from cooking or dad from cooking, and it's a time to just sit and have a conversation, and it's a really important part of our culture. But if you specialize too much, then you cut out part of your market. So it's really awesome that your menu is so well-rounded. You're offering healthy alternatives, and there's something on there for everybody. And if you stick with it, and like you said, you have your outdoor area, so it's family-friendly, and, you know, people like to sit out at night and, you know, when it's not quite as hot here. So that's good. I encourage you guys to really stick with it, and I'll be sure to come and visit because I actually weren't aware that you were there, so I'm really glad you came in today.
Well, thank you, and like I said, we're just going to continue adding. We'll have beer and wine by the end of the week added to the menu. We're going to get the summer, get prepared, get misters in the patio so you can sit out in the patio on the hot Reading summer nights, and just keep on trying to improve the restaurant as we go.
That's great. Once again, we're talking with Brian and Colleen. They are the owners of Grilla Bites, and they are open now in the promenade, the uncovered downtown mall, and we encourage you to go down there. Great menu. Good job, guys. You know, way to stick in there and hold out for business.
Well, thank you. Reading's been very supportive and appreciative and coming out. A little bit longer waits at lunch, but we're getting that down with our staff as they're getting trained, and we're going to start really taking care of our customers.
Hey, well, thanks for the latte, too. I really appreciate it. I needed it such an early show.
And the breakfast burrito that they brought in because they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's Grilla Bites in the downtown mall.
And GrillaBites.com.
That's it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we have a caller on the line. Roberta, thank you for being so patient.
Well, you're welcome. You're worth it.
Oh, thanks.
my dad died a couple years ago, and he was 96.
Oh, gosh.
And he had no health issues. And he used to tell me, we've had nearly 50 years of liberalism, and you mark my words, all it is going to take is someone with charisma if this country doesn't wake up. And I'm thinking, 2 years ago, that man left this earth with the wisest message. And it's just sad that our politicians our conservative politicians are not giving out the correct messages. We've lost them.
Well, I think that it's been a wake-up call. And I am optimistic, believe it or not, that conservatives in America are going to start voicing some of the right messages that, for a while, I think they became complacent. Conservatives just kind of sat back and said, well, this is what I believe in, and they weren't expecting this Obama phenomena.
Well, and when you look back over the last 50 years, you can see that it was creeping, creeping, creeping.
Well, don't you think, Roberta, it's kind of like, every time we draw a line, we step over it and we draw a new one. If you look at, I have a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I am appalled, absolutely appalled by what I see on the television, what I hear on the radio, what I find on the internet. What is considered acceptable now for those kids would have been shocking, absolutely shocking, 30 years ago.
Well, that's it. See, they've undermined our moral fabric. They have changed our food supply until we are a malnourished, sad nation. And we've got to get ourselves out of it.
And I think it's going to be an uphill battle, but I do believe, I look at my kids, I look at their generation, and I know that I've affected change in my children and their friends, and they have a very firm set of traditional, appropriate values, and that's what they'll be teaching their children. I think one of the key things, Roberta, and this is a little bit off topic, but I think rather than giving handouts to folks that are down on their luck, I think the most important thing we can do is offer education and job training.
Absolutely.
Because nobody really wants to live in a lifestyle where you get up in the morning with no hope and you look to the next substance to alter your mind, to alter your reality. They aren't bad people. They're people that can't seem to get out of the quicksand.
Well, that's right. And, the change in the food supply has something to bear on that, because our brains cannot think if we don't have the correct nourishment.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of food isn't even food, and we were just talking to the owners of Grilla Bites about that.
Yeah.
On the break, and offering more wholesome food. And I know Trudy Pratt on her show, Conscious Living, Healthy Living, Positive Living, she talks a lot about getting away from preservatives and using real food that was around 50
right.
years
and
ago.
And also taking the highest quality supplementation you can afford. And supplementation is part of my grocery bill, because I know I'm not getting what I need in the foods.
Yeah, and
even if I try to buy things organic, I try to get meat that's organic.
Well, it's funny that you say that, and I have about a minute left, Roberta, but I want to tell you something. You know how dogs and cats, after it rains, they go out and they eat the grass, and
yes,
people think it's because they have an upset stomach? That's actually not true. What it is they are eating the grass for a compound called MSM, which is a sulfur compound.
Yes,
and
yes,
it used
right.
to be, when we would rotate crops, they would rotate crops all the time. Farmers knew that they needed to rotate their crops to replenish the soil. Well, now, we overproduce on the soil over and over and over again, and so there isn't this MSM sulfur compound in our food anymore. And without it, it's basically one of the main conduits in your body for your skin, for your bones, for your health, for your nails, for your hair. And that's what the dogs and cats are going after in the grass after the rain, because that's when the grass has the most MSM in it. And that's something you should look up on the Internet. It's a terrific supplement to take. But, hey, Roberta, I do have to take a break, and I appreciate your call this morning, and I hope you have a great day.
Well, onward and upward, conservatives.
Yep. I think be optimistic. It's an uphill battle, but, we'll, you know, I think the country's going to get on the right course.
Okay, thanks, Alana.
Bye, Roberta. Bye. This is Alana Burke on KCNR 1460 AM. The number in the studio is 605-4567, and we'll be right back. Mark?
And the American people recognize
this is about required to purchase food as a price.
Vote for this bill.
Never.
Call your
Americans have spoken loud and clear. We are saying no to more government control. We are saying no to higher taxes and deficits. We are saying no to this takeover of health care. But let's see who's still here. This is the people's.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Clearly News Talk Radio. The number in the studio is 605-4567, and you still have time to call in if you want to weigh in on the health care issue. It's probably the last topic that I'm going to talk about today. This is Alana Burke. I have the Alana Burke Show on Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m., and I analyze politics and culture and family in a pretty straightforward, hard-edged way. And I am sitting in today with Mike Quinn for Carl and Linda Bott from Free Fire Radio. They've been down in Palm Springs, and they're on their way home right now. So I just want to touch on a couple other things. There are some good things, believe it or not, there are some good things in this health care mandate that just came down last week. One good thing is the insurance companies can no longer drop you for being sick. I think this is something that Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives and everybody in between would agree is a really good thing. The other thing is children will not be turned down for pre-existing conditions, not right away like President Obama promised. Actually, it turns out there's a loophole in the bill, but in 2014. Your kids can stay on your plan until they're 26 if you choose to do so. Say you've got a son or a daughter and they're going to college and, you know, you want to support them further and you want to keep them on your health care plan, you can, because it is pretty tricky when you're 19 and 18 years old to pay for your own health care, especially because the premiums are sure to go up very, 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 very soon. The other good thing is seniors who have a drug coverage that falls in that donut hole are going to get $250 to help them out. That's not a big amount of money, and it's going to cost us $38 billion to do that. And that cost was not in the Congressional Budget Office's analysis of this bill. That was outside the bill. And then the other good thing, like Mike and I were saying earlier, is if you keep your coverage, you can keep your coverage if you change your job. And that's a good thing, because if you're trapped in a job because you have a sick child and it would be a pre-existing condition, now you have a little more freedom. And then one last thing that I find interesting, because I am self-employed, that small businesses now could maybe band together to purchase group insurance. And I think that's a great idea. What's missing in a lot of this is tort reform, and what I wanted to see was the competition across state lines. I haven't really found that to be true in this bill yet. I can't say I've read all 2,700 pages, but I've definitely parsed a lot of them. It's very difficult reading, but I've parsed a lot. Here's one of the things that you might not know. Employers are now going to report your health care benefits as income on your W-2. So you will now be taxed on your health care benefits. And that kind of slid under the radar. Most people aren't aware of that. And, of course, we all know that you're going to pay 10 years of taxes for 6 years of benefits, which if someone had said that to you on the street, hey, if I'm going to, you know, make you pay for 10 years and I'm going to give you 6 years of benefits, you would have said no. But somehow this managed to get through. I have a caller on the line. Sharon, good morning. Sharon?
Yes?
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Hi. You know, this healthcare thing just drives me nuts. Back in 2009, the original bill was called America's Healthy Choice Act of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere between then and now, it got turned into H.R. 3200 and then all kinds of new amendments and whatever was changed to it. So it's really tremendous. And within all of this are so many organizations that are going to have information available to them about everything as far as being able to get our money from our bank to pay for their fees and the whole bit. But what really gets to me is that this America's Healthy Choice Act pretty much says what it intended to do, which is, as a previous caller had stated, control even our food. They want to create us as very healthy people, which is great, so that we don't have to spend their money to go get, you know, medical care done because we'll be so healthy. But how are they going to do that? They already have ability to tell the fast foods what kind of fat they're going to use,
right,
or what kind of, you know, anything they're going to put in our foods, how they're going to label how many calories we can have. I'm very concerned that one of these particular organizations, which is in the bill, will be able to come into your home, supervise, tell you how to raise your kids, what they can eat, what they can't eat, how they have to be, you know, not couch potatoes. That really concerns me.
Well, what that's really doing, it's a very common theme that seems to be running through this administration. It's de-emphasizing parents and parental authority and emphasizing government control. And I am all about parents being responsible for their children. For example, there's down in Santa Clara, they're saying that they're going to pass legislation to take the Happy Meal toys out of the Happy Meals. And my response to that is, hello, it's parents. Parents are the ones who can say, we're not going to McDonald's, or we're only going once a month, but there's no reason to take that toy out of the meal. It doesn't change anything. What they're saying is that the toy is what brings the kids in to eat this, you know, food that is not necessarily healthy for them. And again, that all that does is create more legislation and take more power away from parents. We don't need more legislation. We need more common decency, and we need more traditional values, and we need parents to step up and take responsibility for their lives and the lives of their children, including their nutrition.
I agree. It goes back to the very foundation of a family, and it would be wonderful if we could get everyone to say, yes, let's start working on that aspect of it. But instead, you're right again, all the legislation, and now this bill is more legislation right on top of all the loopholes and all the fraud that's going on. They're going to expand the Medicaid program, more people, but they're not fixing anything. Why didn't we do that? Why haven't we done that?
That's a very good question, Sharon, and, you know, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your concern, the fact that you're looking into these issues, and I encourage you to continue to do that. Stay proactive. Don't be apathetic. Talk to your friends and neighbors and get up on the Internet and find out some of this for yourself and vote accordingly in November. Sharon, thank you very much for the call. We got to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
As hard as it may be to believe, every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped. On Saturday, April 10th, real men in Chassis County are going to step into the shoes of women everywhere and walk a mile to bring awareness to all victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. Are you man enough to walk that mile? Won't you please step up and walk a mile to help end rape and sexual assault on April 10th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. High heels are requested for men, and you can call for Shoe Sources at 244-0118, extension 202. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Please join the men's walk on April 10th. For more information or to register for the walk, please call 244-0118, extension 202, or go online to womensrefuge.org. And for every man who raises at least $100 for this cause, a special Walk a Mile t-shirt will be provided. Walk, toddle, skip, or limp, but please, won't you join us and do whatever it takes to make this walk a great success? April 10th at the Market Street Promenade, women everywhere will thank you.
Where do you go when you want to buy that special piece of jewelry? Where do you go when you need an honest opinion and a trustworthy jeweler? Four Winds Jewelry. Whether selling your gold, redesigning older jewelry pieces, or buying that special stone, engagement, or wedding ring, Four Winds Jewelry is the place to go. Four Winds Jewelry has been in business for over 30 years. Four Winds Jewelry has traveled around the world, developing relationships to bring you the best in quality gems and loose stones. You deserve the best. You need a jeweler you can trust at prices you can afford. Four Winds Jewelry also has the only on-site expert watchmaker and repairman specializing in high-end watches. Come in and see us at Four Winds Jewelry.
Four Winds Jewelry on Hilltop Drive in Reading. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. For private appointments, call 222-2750. That's Four Winds Jewelry.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460 AM, and this is Alana Burke. I've been sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott this morning. They've been out of town. They're on their way home, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit in for them this morning. I want to remind you that my show is on Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m., and I have a webpage, alanaburke.com, and you can email me at alana@alanaburke.com. And I encourage you to join me next Saturday. I'm always talking about stuff that's on the cutting edge, and also I encourage you to get out of your comfort zone and call in during my show. I want to remind you all that the power of free speech provides enough friction over ideas and cultural values and political ideologies to fuel the American think tank, and it is this energy source that defines us as a nation of purpose. So if you don't jump in and make your voice be heard, make your opinions be heard, then you kind of become part of the problem. You can no longer sit back and be the silent majority. If you're not comfortable with the direction that we are headed as a country, you really need to step up, whether it's an email or a phone call to your representatives, or whether you change your vote in November, or even if you just join one of the grassroots parties that are trying to affect some change in this country. If you're not comfortable, you can't just sit back. And, you know, John Updike once said, I love my government, not least for the extent to which it leaves me alone. And James Allen said, circumstances do not make the man, they reveal him. And these are both really important quotes, and I hope you take them to heart, because it does make a difference. As Thomas Jefferson said, one man with courage, or one woman with courage, is a majority. It's really time, all you people out there in Reading, to step up, make a difference, talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors. And again, I hope that you will join me next week, Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. on the Alana Burke Show. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.